Morning.
Morning.
Isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord?
Amen.
I mean, it's the music. Love Christmas music. Don't you love Christmas music? It doesn't need to be December. It's just, man, it's just awesome. Yeah, we should do that more. That's just the words are just too awesome to just one time of the year. It's just great. Let me ask you a question. Are you as tired of the lies of this world as I am? Especially everything outside of God's word. This is the only thing you can trust anymore. I mean, that's all there is to it. So I've titled this message, Truth or Consequences. And for those of you old enough, you'll remember there was a game show in the 50s and 60s with Bob Barker called Truth or Consequences. Well, it has nothing to do with that. That's what I'm going to focus on today. I'm going to focus on the truth, and maybe later I'll do a consequences one. Because I did go through the Old Testament, and wow, there is just so, especially the Old Testament, you see what happens when you depart from the truth. So I think it's a good exercise, if you will, to study what God has to say about the truth. So if you take your Bibles, if you turn to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter, and we're going to look at chapter 2. The whole thing is so good, I said, all right, we got to read the whole thing. But I'm not going to address everything in it, but there are parts of it that I do want to address. So let me go ahead and read this. 2 Peter chapter 2, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now a long time lingereth, not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those who should live ungodly, and deliver just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed, they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not a railing accusation against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to writhe in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, a heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with the tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escaped from them. Excuse me, for them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, the same is he brought in bondage. For if they had escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true prophet, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her own wallowing in the mire. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And Father, we just ask you to unlock our hearts to it and just give us a good knowledge of it. And we thank you in Jesus' name. All right. Second Peter. In chapter 1, he says in verse 14 that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. What this is saying is that he knows he's about to die. And he's looking at eternity. And it's not that he's afraid or anything, but he's looking at the people who are left. Suppose you were on the Titanic or something, and you know that you're going to die, you're going down. What kind of message would you want to send? I'm sure they had a telegraph there trying to send a message. It wasn't, you know, having a great time wish you were here. It was, help! We need help! And so there's a passion and there's we must do it now, and immediacy. And that's the way this book is, because this is the last transmission that Peter is going to give. This is what he's leaving to the church. He loves the church. You know, you could say, if you're on a 9/11 plane, and a lot of them, you know, they called their wives or whatever and said, oh, I love you and I love the kids and all that. Well, Peter loves the church. And what he's saying is, because he loves it so much, this message, this is an important message that you must know. And actually, Paul had sort of the same thing in 2 Timothy. Let me go, you don't have to turn there, but 2 Timothy 4, he says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He knows that death is near. And it's the same thing. Both of these books have the same sort of theme. And that is one of apostasy. He's warning the church of apostasy. And boy, are we seeing that today. We had better listen and take heed to what he says. Because this is not a joke. This is really, really important. So, if I did an overview of this book, of 2 Peter, the first chapter, I would say, is gaining knowledge of the truth. How do we gain knowledge of the truth? And in the second chapter, which is what I'm going to focus on, it's what are the threats to knowing the truth and keeping the truth. And then in the third chapter, it's the benefits of knowing the truth, specifically the second coming. And so I've thrown around some words like truth, and maybe, you know, we all have a different definition of it. So let's all get on the same page, and I want to get the Bible definition of the word truth. So go to John chapter 18. We'll come back. John chapter 18. And this is the betrayal, the arrest, getting ready for the crucifixion. I'm going to be interested in verse 38, but I'm going to start in verse 28. What has happened here is that under the leadership of Judas, the Jews have come and arrested Jesus, and they have taken him into custody, and have taken him to the high priest, and the high priest was Caiaphas that year. And so they bound him, they did whatever they were going to do to him. And that's where we pick it up in verse 28. They led Jesus from Caiaphas, the high priest, to the Jews. Now he's transitioning to the secular government, the Roman government. So we've got a totally different set of rules here. All right, so they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the Hall of Judgment, which was maybe the Supreme Court or just a courtroom, something like that. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall. The Jews went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Okay, I'm going to stop there. These are some of the most arrogant, self-righteous, self-centered people that you probably never heard of. They believe themselves to be far more holy than you are. And so there's this we're the clergy. We're better than you are. We know more than you do. You know nothing. You have to listen to everything we say. And don't we see that today in the Roman Catholic Church? You don't need the Bible. We will tell you everything you need to know. Same thing with Judaism. We will tell you everything you need to know. And pretty much most of American churches are like that. People come in. I don't expect you to just take whatever I say and then say, that's the truth. How many people in here could say, as Jesus did, I am the way, I am the truth? Jesus said, I am the truth. I can't say that. I'm a liar. You are too, all of you. Nobody can raise their hand and say, I am the truth. And the reason is because we're liars. Every one of us has lied. But Jesus can. So that whole mentality has remained until today. And I'm going to come back to that. But here they had the fulfillment of the Passover. Right there. He's the fulfillment. Did they care anything about the Passover? Did they care anything about sin, about anything? No, they care about the rules that they made. They want power over you. And it reminds me, I hate to say this, Nancy Pelosi and her, you must wear a mask. Oh, you must wear a mask. It's so dangerous. You must wear a mask. And then she forces everybody else to do it too. We see this whole mentality of here's the knowledge people. Here is the people that know it all, and then there's you. There's the people that are ruled. This is what communism is. We've got the people up here, and then the rest of you down here. And you have no rights down here, but people up here do. But we're all equal, but some are more equal than others. So that's what we're dealing with here. That's what the Jews are, all right? They care nothing about the truth. We can say that in churches all over America. They care nothing about the truth. They care about, money. Yeah. Make sure you put your tithe in. I'll get back to that. Okay. So they refused to go in. They refused to go into this court. They bring the victim, and then they refused to go in with him. Because we can't go in. Well, so Pilate in verse 29, he's in there. He's in the hall of judgment, and he goes out to them. Now, if I had been Pilate, I would have said, you won't come in here, case dismissed. If you're not going to even come in here and make your argument, we're done. But he doesn't, he's a politician, so So we need to say more. And so he goes out to them, trying to please them, and he says, "What accusation bring you against this man?" Fair question. What's your charge? Why is he here? Why am I dealing with this? I could be home watching football or something. No. So he says, "What accusation?" And then they answered him. Oh, get this answer. They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up to thee." Now, so what was the charge? They didn't say. No, empty set. There's nothing there. But what they did say is, "How dare you question us? Do you know who you're talking to?" And that happened. Oh, we're seeing this in politics, in our politics. We're seeing it in our churches. We're seeing it in we're seeing it everywhere. And it's really a demonic. This is the way the devil believes, because he believes that he is above you. He wants your worship. You are the idiot that you're going to worship him. And so that's how it manifests. And so these guys said, we wouldn't have delivered him to you unless we really had something on him. So then then Pilate said unto them, "Well, then you take him. You judge. You haven't given me anything, so I can't help you." Okay. And then the Jews therefore said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." Oh, we are so law-abiding, wonderful citizens, and we love you, and we'll obey you. And so, it's just. Oof. And then, and not only that, but their form of capital punishment was stoning. And that is not how it was prophesied. So it's not that they cared anything about how it was prophesied or anything. That's not the point. They didn't. What really was? All right. This is not. Don't take this. I'm not trying to be blasphemous or anything. But the Lord Jesus, he had crowds, right? I'm going to compare it to a Trump rally where there's oceans of people. And then we got Mr. Biden, who couldn't fill a Waffle House. That's the way the Jews were. Nobody was following them. I mean, they were there just because of, they threatened them. "You'll go to hell if you don't follow us, if you don't do what we say." But Jesus, he had people. People loved him. People followed him. I admit, not all had the same motive or anything. Not all got saved. But he was able to do things and say things that hit into their hearts. So not these Jews. They were just, "Oh, here's what you have to do. Here's the list of things you have to do." And what kind of, nobody wants that. Nobody wants to live like that. And so after talking to them, he goes back into the judgment hall, verse 33, and he said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" And, well, where did that come from? So, and that's basically what Jesus is saying. He's saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it of thee? Are you just parroting what somebody else said, or do you really want to know? Do you really have a heart that wants to know the truth?" And so he answered and he said, "Am I a Jew?" He answered the question, "No, I'm not interested in this. I don't care. I'm not Jewish. I don't answer to you. I don't care." And you know what? One thing you don't see is Jesus kind of begging him, like, "Well, you know, you have to believe this." No, he doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He lets the truth speak for itself. And that's a lesson we've got to learn. You know, begging people to believe something they don't believe, or you know, trying to manipulate or or here, I'll pay you lots of money if you'll, you know, just come to this church or whatever. That's not the way Jesus operated. But he says, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? He's still looking for a charge. He's still looking for, why are you here? What kind of charge am I going to use? What am I giving to you? So, and Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence. And then Pilate says, art thou a king then? He missed everything because he's back now in the political world because kings were that was a big deal. That was a threat. Are you a threat to me? That's kind of what he's saying. And he's saying it not in the spirit world, but he's saying it, you know, what are you going to, you're going to take me over? And he says, thou sayest that I am a king. To that end I was born. For this cause I came into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Ooh, there we are. There we are. Refreshing truth. And not the lies of the both the Jews and the Romans. They're both liars. They're both promulgating a bunch of lies. Everything in this world is a bunch of lies. And if you haven't seen that, anything coming on television is a lie. I don't care what it is, whether it's a commercial, whether it's anything. It is a lie. And it needs to be treated as such. Pilate saith unto him, in verse 38, this is the one I'm leading up to, what is truth? Great question. That's a great question. Unfortunately, he didn't mean it. Unfortunately, it was a snide, condescending insult. It's sort of like, what do you know about truth? What is truth to you? So, he didn't even wait for an answer either. when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. So he's going back and forth. Okay, talking to this guy, talking to them, talking to that. And he says, I have no charge. I've asked him. You can't tell me. He can't tell me. What do you want me to do? And so then he says, oh, I got an idea. You Jews have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the King of the Jews? Yay, we're done. See, he's a politician because he needs the support of the Jews. Any politician, if they don't have the support of the people that they rule, they will not be ruling. I mean, it's that simple. They need that support. So he needs that, but he also needs the support of his Roman bosses. And so he's walking a tightrope. He's walking a fine line here. So lies are part of the... You can't get both of them without lying to one of them. So lies are just a normal part of the work. And that's what we see. We see that even today. We see that. I could go list them, but you know, I'm not going to waste time with that. Unfortunately, the Jews didn't want that. And they just said in verse 40, not this man, but Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a robber. We'll take a thief. We'll take a criminal. We'll take him. But no, we got so much hatred and so much rage just built up in us. We want this man killed, and we want you to do it so we don't get the blame. Pilate, what's he going to do? And you know the end of the story. But let's talk more about truth and what God has to say about it, because that's pretty much what truth is not, because Pilate knows nothing of it. So look at John 8, John 8:32. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We all know that verse, but do we really know it? In America, we think, it's a free country. Yeah, you want to go do that? It's a free country. Freedom does not mean do what thou wilt shall be the whole of law. It does not mean you have the right to do whatever you want to. That is not freedom. That is not biblical freedom. Freedom, according to this verse, is walking in the truth, knowing the truth and walking in the truth. And how do we get the truth? Okay, we're going to get to that, but truth is what we're after. If you're looking for a church, what you're looking for is truth. So if somebody gets in the pulpit and starts saying, well, here's what I think, and here's the story that happened to me, and so, I think you ought to do this, and I think you ought to... And never looking at the truth, I think I'd keep moving. I keep looking. I think I'd move on. All right, John 14:6. Another familiar, very familiar verse. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the truth. I am. The truth is a person. So that's, I can't give you a pound of truth. In fact, I can describe some things, but what is it exactly? Well, it is the person, and ultimately it's a spiritual thing. Truth is spiritual. We are never more antichrist than when, as Christians, we lie. Never more antichrist. And it's like throwing acid into Christ's face. We have no business deceiving, lying, and yet there's churches, I've been in them, that there's all this swirling going on, and there's this going on, and there's all kinds of stuff going on. We need to live in the truth. John 17:17, thy word is truth. Right here. Now, it's not these pages. You see, because I can cut up these pages and burn it, and the word's still there. Where you haven't destroyed it. So it is not a physical, the word of God is not a physical thing that can be destroyed. Let's look at, Isaiah 40:8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. What is the word of our God? It's truth. Truth is forever. It is not this is truth, and next day this is truth. If you watch the evening news, you're going to get truth all over the place, what they call truth, and it's not. They're lying. That's why this is it's so incredibly important for when we get back to I'm running out of time there. When we get back to 2 Peter, we're going to see just how important it is not to be sucked up into the lies of this world. And following the truth. That's why if you're not staying in the Word of God, you're going backwards. Believe me, you're going backwards, because the world is bombarding, just absolutely bombarding, and it's accelerated in these last days, and so it's even more important. Psalm 100:5. The Psalms and the Proverbs have a lot to say about this too. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. The generation of the authors of this Bible, this would have been in pre-Christ times, truth that they had is the same truth we have. It does not change. When you run into truth, it is absolutely the Rock of Gibraltar. It cannot change. It is not malleable. It is not bendable. It is not flexible. It cannot change. And when you run into it, you run into a brick wall. Even worse. It simply cannot. It cannot change. You know, everything in our life changes. How many people remember Betamax tapes? What are you going to do with a Betamax tape now? I mean, do you see how the culture has changed? Everything has changed. Phones. There used to be phone booths. There used to be dial phones. I don't know, typewriters, slide rules. Nobody uses those anymore. Why? Because they're not permanent. Nothing that we, all these phones that we have, I got the latest one. It's obsolete. Don't put your trust in that. Don't put your trust in the latest car, the latest fad, the latest video game, the latest whatever, because it's going to be obsolete really quick. But not truth. Truth, you will never have to take a revision. As an engineer, when we come out with something, let's say we have a new system, always, the first time you use it, this didn't work, that didn't work, okay, let's revise it, let's take this out, put this in, let's try something else. We have a revision. It's a revision A. Oh, it worked better, but no, we're still not good. Okay, now we got revision B. Now we got revision C. And that's the way this world is. But truth isn't like that. Truth doesn't need a revision. Truth doesn't need your help. It stands on its own, just as God does. So, he talks about truth enduring forever. I've got several passages on that. But the one I guess I want to look at is Proverbs 16:6. You know, we could be here till 4 o'clock, but I'm going to cut it short. Don't worry. let's see. Proverbs 16 and verse 6. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. What did Peter do to try to stop the evil that was happening? He took the sword out and cut off somebody's ear. I know a lot of people that are angry. Well, you know, you see the riots and stuff, perceived injustices. So we'll take it into our own hands and we'll do that. That's not how, look at this verse, that's not how evil is purged. It doesn't do any good. You know, burning down a building and saying, see, now we're all mad. You haven't done anything. You haven't purged the evil. Truth is the way that evil is purged out. And, you know, when we look at our country, we love our country, it needs truth. That's what's missing. We're just being bombarded with lies. And so it becomes incredibly important that we promulgate the truth. We confront lies. And not just, you know, well, you know, I don't watch movies because they're no good. Well, you need to confront the ones that do. Yeah, I guess, you know, many years ago, when the schools started turning bad, they weren't always, you know, public schools weren't always bad, but they did start. They took prayer out, and they took a turn. But many Christians, what they did is say, well, I'll take my children out. And rightly so. I wouldn't want my children subjected to that either. But we left the people they're subjected to those lies. And those people are the ones now that are in control. See, we're here to be salt and light. We're here to be basically an irritation to them. And that's not a real popular position to be in. You know, oh, you're going to be persecuted and not liked. We all like to be liked. I saw a video of, what's his name? Pastor Pulaski. He's the guy in Canada. If you'll remember, he's the one that told him to get out. And I saw an interview with him. He was arrested in the middle of the street. Apparently they stopped his car and made him lay down right in the middle of the street where cars were coming. And he told the rest of the story. He was put in chains. He was tortured. He and his brother, they were denied sleep. They were put in a cell that was, he said it was absolutely filthy. He said it was urine everywhere and mold all over the walls. And it was just not habitable. It was just not livable. That's going on right now in our northern neighbor here. I thought Canada was they were a pretty free place. But that's what's happening. And he was telling some really awful stuff about, he had been targeted. That wasn't the first time when that video was shown. That wasn't the first time they were harassing him. But why should we be surprised? This is what happens when you tell the truth. The world hates the truth. The devil loves darkness. And this is the light. And so, yeah, we got it. It's not a game. And it's going to have real consequences. You're going to lose friends. You're going to lose maybe jobs. You're going to lose a lot of things. And, we've been blessed for so many years. I can't believe how much we've been blessed, because the world, the rest of the world that we don't know about, has put up with this for as long as I've been alive, and who knew? So maybe it's a good thing that we get a taste of it. Let me go back to 2 Peter. Now that we have an idea, more of an idea, I do want to kind of go through what Peter has to say about threats to the truth. And in the first three verses, false prophets, false teachers, heresies, damnable heresies. Can I say this? When he says damnable heresies, I'll just run over that. What he's saying is, damn you for teaching that. That's a very, very strong rebuke. And later, in verse 3, he talks about, or verse 2 and 3, he talks about people that follow that. And you know what he's saying to them? Damn you for believing that. Because you have the truth. You've been given the truth. We have a responsibility for what we believe. And it doesn't just end with, okay, I believe in Jesus, I believe in Christmas, I sing the Christmas songs and, whatever. It's more than that. It's believing the truth. You can't just believe whatever you want the truth to be. It's the truth, and this is it. So it's a serious thing. And this is, I see this as religion. See, I don't consider myself to be religious. I don't consider this church to be religious. But like the First Amendment talks about freedom of religion. Well, that does cover us. So there's two ways you can use that word. And the things that separates it is truth. See, if we're preaching the truth, That's not religion. But it does encompass it. So that it gets to and actually God's word uses the word religion too. So we have to be kind of careful there. But I would let me name a couple. The televangelists, you know, people who are desperate and they don't know where to turn, so they'll turn on the TV because that's unthreatening, and they'll hear people like Kenneth Copeland. I think he's the top of the moneymakers now. They'll hear Jim Baker. He was just fined for promoting a cure for coronavirus. Good. Kenneth Copeland teaches that you are a god, that God is the biggest failure in the Bible. Jesus never claimed he was God. And anybody born again can do everything that Jesus did. Save sinners, raised from the dead. Yeah, you can do it all if you're born again. But there's more. There's the Roman Catholic Church, which we could say a lot of things about, but the one thing we could say is salvation by works. And that is a damnable heresy. And people that believe that are not saved, cannot be saved. I don't care how religious they are. Because the truth, Ephesians 2:8-9, the truth is that you are saved not by works, lest any man should boast. I mean, it's very, very clear. You are not saved by works. And they say straight out, you are saved by works. They don't hide it. So, and they also have they call it the Society of Jesus, the Jesuits. And their whole mission was to destroy Protestantism and make Roman Catholicism the religion of the world and the Pope king of the world or whatever. They're still here. They are undercover. They infiltrate. But we have to understand that their tactics and what they do is they're not nice people. They're not nice people. We'll put it that way. Some of the other religions, I know you're going to say, oh, there's a conspiracy theory, but the Illuminati was formed in, get this, 1776. Did the devil know what was coming or what? And it was in Germany. They are still in existence. They have a website. You can look at all the occultic symbols and what they mean and all that kind of stuff. You can still look at it. Here's what they believe: abolition of all ordered governments, abolition of private property, abolition of all inheritance, abolition of patriotism, abolition of all religion, abolition of the family, and creation of the new world order or world government. That's not a theory. That's what they want, and it's demonic, but it's not the only one. So we got Jesuits here with the one world government. We've got Illuminati. We got the Communist Manifesto written by Karl Marx, which is essentially the same thing. It's essentially the same thing. These people aren't talking to each other. They're you know, different countries, different everything. But what's the conspiracy is the devil. And this is what this world and these news reporters or whatever have no idea of. So they don't, that spirit, no, there's nothing there. But you know what? Christians need to understand how we're being attacked. And we're being attacked from so many ways. Communism. And we also have one called the Council on Foreign Relations, which was created right after World War I, because Congress wouldn't join the League of Nations, which is the United Nations forerunner. So they started this to go around Congress, and they're still here. They've got a website too. So what they've done is infiltrated the media. They've infiltrated politics. You wonder why things are happening like they are? That's why. This is what they're after. United Nations is another one. It's sold as a humanitarian. Oh, we love the children. We have the children's emergency. Remember Halloween? They used to go around instead of trick or treat. They would beg for money for UNICEF, and they'd use children as the way to get money. But everything that any one of these communist countries believe is what they believe, and nobody's really saying anything about it. All right. The other thing I wanted to there's a second thing that needs to be looked at, and that is in verse 6 of 2 Peter. Turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow. Do you think we're living in Sodom and Gomorrah? I think no. I think we passed them long ago. I think we're way worse. I worked for the Department of the Air Force. And I got an email, this just last week, this dropped into my lap. This is sanctioned by the Department of Defense. Here's a, a drag queen show was essential to morale, cohesion, and readiness in the United States Air Force. That was at Nellis Air Force Base this month. And they're all defending it. They're defending it. There are people that expressed disbelief. They said the drag queen show was proof the U.S. military will soon be dominated by Russia, China, and North Korea. And that's not far from the truth. They sent us all these slideshows. Here's a chaplain that used to be a man, is now a transgender woman, a major, who wears a cross. And that's just disgraceful. It's just, it's sickening. What are they telling these people? You know, when people are sending their children into the military thinking patriotic and all this kind of stuff, and this is the kind of stuff they're being subjected to. Here's another one. Here's all the pictures of the people who are lesbians, transgenders. We're all celebrating them because they're so, and they're disgracing the uniform. That's where we are today, and worse. If this is the military, I can't imagine what universities are like. I know that workplaces are embracing this. And so we need to listen to what he says and what it did to that just Lot. It vexed him. What it did to him, he was a righteous man, he dwelt among them, and yet it vexed his righteous soul. We're living in that era, and it does affect us. When was the last time you saw a news reporter pray before they give you the news, asking God's blessing on what they're about to say? How about never? Or a salesman, asking God that it might be his will that this transaction take place. Never. And you know what that does? We soak that up. We soak that up. And the reason they do that is implicitly, we don't need God on this. And yet that's anti-Christ. That's anti-biblical. Whatever you think, just do whatever. You don't need to consult God. What are you talking about? And so we soak that up, and we do stupid things because of it. So that's something we need to, especially in these days, be very, very careful of, that we're not being vexed by this culture that so desperately wants to drag us to hell. And the last thing I wanted to look at was in verse 19. While they promise liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. They are hypocrites. Hypocrisy is absolutely the threat, the biggest threat to the truth. Because how many people go to a church, they'll hear it, but then they'll see somebody doing something, you know, under the table, and they'll say, oh, I've had it, no more of that. So, and then they stop believing what is the truth, and they'll believe more lies. So, we are living in a very, 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 very dangerous time. But, you know what? Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And we've got all these things coming against us all at once. I mean, there are so many things trying to pull us down that it really is miraculous that we can still survive, but it is the truth, and that's the key, is knowing the truth and living the truth. And that's it.